12-Sided Stories is for mature audiences and often deals with topics that may be difficult for some listeners. Discretion is advised.
In the city of dreams, everyone wants to be a star, but at what cost? 12-Sided Stories presents Otherworld Hollywood.
And welcome to Otherworld Hollywood, episode number 22. My name is Wes Otis. This is our Call of Cthulhu actual play, and I have some wonderful players with me. Let us start with Sam.
Hello, everyone. I'm Sam Star. I use she, they in the occasional fae pronouns, and today I'm playing Imani. I had to look at my character sheet. I almost forgot for a second. Who uses she, her pronoun?
Hello, everybody. My name is Candace, also known as Candace the Magnificent. My pronouns are they, she, and today I am playing Ebony Belafonte, she, her.
Hey, y'all. I'm Mac, and today I am playing Cass Richardson, a.k.a. Lenore Von Mori, a.k.a. simply the Vamp.
Hey, I'm Michelle, and today I am playing Belle Bellington, you know, who she's in a bit of a bind.
Hi, I'm Lev. I use they, them pronouns, and today I am playing Roberta Robbie Cerillos, they, she.
Enjoying the show? Then take a moment to join our Patreon. Support the podcast and get early access to episodes and bonus content. Head to 12-Sided Stories Patreon today.
All right. So this is a great place for a recap. Previously, you had found out that Penelope was a werewolf. You were able to talk her off the ledge of attacking you. You then went into the house and Evie went for a walk with Hathor and found out that, like, hey, if you call me when Sekhmet is around, we can recombine and become one goddess again. Then why looking for Evie in the house, because the rest of you had realized she had disappeared, you went into the bathroom. You all were looking in the bathroom to find out where Evie had gone. And this horrible creature came out of the mirror and attacked Robbie, grabbed onto Robbie and tried to drag her into the mirror. You all were able to get her away from that. You decided you needed to stay out of the bathroom, but needed to find Evie as quickly as possible. That's when you got a call from the studio. Danny was looking for Penelope. Penelope wasn't there at the time. Basically, Cass and Penelope had gone to the backyard to talk about the fact that they were both werewolves, and they had a moment back there, and then they came back in. Meanwhile, I believe it was Robbie that talked with Danny on the phone, and Danny told them that basically Vanessa, the woman who does the BDSM photography shoots at night, had been murdered in the parking lot that evening. This sent Imani off to find out where Rose might be, because she figured that was probably who might have done this murder. She ended up going back to her apartment and she found that her bed had been cut into, and then across the back wall, it said, "I know what you did," in big letters. Then meanwhile, back at Penelope's place, Belle, you were going home to get your gun. It freaked you out that Vanessa had died and all of this stuff was going on. You haven't seen war in a while. And Tony was there and he was like, "You know, I'm really worried about you. Let's get you to a safe place." Not telling you that that safe place was a doctor's office where he wants you to talk to a psychologist about what you're doing, because he thinks that you've gone off the rails with your thought process. He started driving you the opposite way that you thought you were going, towards an asylum. You jumped out of the car and started running away from him. Meanwhile, the other three, Cass, Robbie, and Penelope, decided to go find out where Evie was. There had been a huge explosion, and Easter had told Robbie that Evie was at her house, and that's where the explosion happened. You all decided to go and find them as quickly as possible. Meanwhile, at the explosion site, Priestess Elizabeth attacked Evie. Evie then was screaming, "Well, look, everyone, it's terrible, and got a bunch of attention. And that stopped Elizabeth from biting into her. And Elizabeth's all like, you don't know what you've done. You've basically condemned Sekhmet back to Hathor. And now she is going to have to live a life of servitude, and it's your fault. And then left because there were too many people around for her to kill Evie. And that when we left Evie, she was, you know, holding Buttercup, like, you'll still love me when I'm old. And I believe that that is all of it. I think we got all of it. Has anybody got anything else that I might be forgetting?
I literally forgot all that happened. That's insane.
Yeah. Well, it was like 2 weeks before Christmas. So does not shock me that you forgot. Okay. So we're going to jump in with Michelle. Belle, you are running down the street. You hear Tony's hired muscle trying to keep up with you, trying to run and catch you. And Tony's yelling in the background, we're not committing you. We just want to have you talk with a doctor. What is your problem? What do you want to do?
Okay, so give me an idea of, is this a city block? Are we out in the country somewhere?
It's downtown Hollywood, like probably close to Hollywood Forever, let's say.
Okay, I will jump into the nearest business that is open.
Okay, it is nighttime.
Well, I'm thinking a diner or something like that.
I think we need a luck roll for this to see if you can find.
Okay, all right. 65 over my 60.
Yeah, you're looking, looking at doors, you're pulling on stuff. Nothing's open. And you keep hearing the ever-closing in footsteps of Tony's guy.
Okay, I stop, because I know I'm not going to be able to outrun him. I'm like, fine, but you better not commit me, Tony, because when I'm out, you know, and I don't say if I get out, I say when I'm out, you know I'm coming for you.
He goes, all right, I understand. No reason to be upset. No reason to overact. It's all right.
I give him the look of a lifetime.
So the three of you enter the asylum. Let's jump over to Sam. Actually, no, I'm going to hold that one. Just one second.
I missed this game.
That was such an evil laugh, Mac. Like, that was like the perfect villain laugh. Just like...
It was perfectly
mischievous.
It was great. Pretty good. Evie, you are surrounded by destruction. Your house is obliterated. As you are speaking with Buttercup, what do you want to do? People are kind of crowding around. They're asking you if you're okay.
I think Ebony is taking it all in, knowing that it's keeping her a little bit safe from anybody else who might decide to kind of stumble upon her. I think she's really worried that other forces are going to show up to this, like, kind of ground zero-like area that is her home. I feel like she accepts the help that people are offering and people checking on her and stuff, but she does make it a point to call out all of her house help to see if people can try to get them out from underneath the rubble and save them and figure out how to at least save some lives, if possible. Just really holds tight onto Buttercup and lets people take care of her for a minute.
So why this is all going on at some point, probably 20 minutes passes as, you know, police cars and fire trucks show up and they start going through the rubble of the house and pulling people out, both live and dead. And car pulls up and Penelope, Robbie, and Cass come out, and the four of you are together, and Penelope is the first one to get to you and says, my God, are you all right?
Penelope, darling. Oh, it's so good to see your friendly face finally.
Did a doctor look at you? Did they check you out yet?
My neighbor is something I believe called a nurse practitioner or something. She looked at me, but that's not quite a doctor, is it?
not quite, no.
I'm just hanging on. Buttercup has been so brave.
Did the mirror tentacle monster get you too?
No tentacles, no. Excuse me, could you give us just one moment, please?
And she like waves off one of the people that's tending to her.
You see, I came home. I had a lovely chat with Hathor. Beautiful, beautiful, just stunning, really. do anything for her, and I did. But apparently I have upset the balance of the universe. Sekhmet and Hathor are now one goddess again, and I don't know. No one told me that was the wrong thing to do. They told me that I should reunite them, and I did, but apparently now Sekhmet is trapped without her consent in this new body, or this old body, I don't know. It's all kind of a haze, Robbie darling, but the point is, they're back together. The New Day rejuvenation spa is ridiculously upset with me. Elizabeth tried to attack me in the street. You should have seen it. It was delightful, really. Scratched at my eyes. It was, it's been an eventful morning.
Well, why did you leave? Why didn't you tell us you were leaving? Why didn't you stay with us so we could all be here together to fight all of the... We saw monsters, too. So I was just thinking that if we were all together, maybe we could have fought them better. Why did you leave?
Ebony kind of stops for a second and has, like, this kind of glazed look over her eyes for a moment as she kind of remembers Hathor calling to her and the way she looked and, like, how she reached out her hand. Gets a little bit misty and lost for a moment and then snaps out of it and looks at you, Robbie. And when she kind of comes out of it, she has this very, like, almost innocent ingenue face on, this kind of soft and, like, romantic and pretty face. And she, like, reaches one hand out to you while gazing in your eyes. Very innocently seductive. Like, not, like, coming on super strong, but just very, like, an invitation.
Would you come with me right now if I asked you to go anywhere at all?
Robbie's face just, like, flushes. We're together is... Mm-hmm. Sure.
Exactly. Exactly, Robbie. And she, like, snaps back to herself and her face is, like, really, like, in your face all of a sudden. Exactly. It was just like that. It was magnanimous and majestic and melodious and a lot of other things. I begin with the letter M. It took my breath away.
And she gets, like, misty again and, like, sits back in her seat.
I didn't know you were such a good actor. Wow.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to leave you. It was not my intention. I was overcome.
Where are the others? Where's everyone else?
Belle left. Moni left. It's just us. I don't know where they went. Belle told me... What did Belle tell me? Belle told me to... Belle told me she'd be back. She said more. It's been a lot. I've kind of lost that information. She said to... Oh, no! Robbie's, like, pacing up and down. And just like, she told me something. She's going to get a thing, and then she's coming back, and to be safe. Those were all the things I remember.
Well, to be sure, Belle can take care of herself, but I do know that she's been concerned about her ex-husband and the like, following her around and such, so I hope she's all right. What about Imani? What did she go to?
I believe she did tell you that she was going to head back to her place.
Oh, that's right, because I think her and Belle had words about Rose. Right?
Yeah.
Well, I think that we should try to pack it in here. These people look like they have it covered. I mean, what do I know about insurance policies? I mean, really, what could I do? How could I be of any assistance to anyone here doing pretty much anything? So let's go get in your car. Penelope, you drive? You don't have a driver, Penelope, really?
No, I try not to flaunt the wealth as much as possible.
Oh, yes, old money. I see. Let's go. Let's go, please.
All right, so where are you going?
That's a good question.
I think I'd probably suggest we go to, like, either around Amani's or around Belle's, knowing that both of them have people likely waiting for them there that are not good folks. Unless we remember where Belle said she was going, and then I'd say that, because I feel like a gangster and his team are a little bit worse than one crazy lady.
You haven't met Rose yet.
This is what I'm saying. Uninformed opinion.
Uninformed opinion, yeah.
Yeah, at least gangsters are predictable.
For the most part.
For the most part.
So where, Amani's or Belle's?
Belle said she was going home, and then I think she said she was seeing someone, but I don't I wish I remembered. I'm sorry. Imani's a certainty. Belle's more of a question.
All right, I guess let's go to Imani's. What I will say is if you took up a ton of time trying to find me and get me and my ducks in a row, Imani is young, and young people are resilient. So I'm sure that she is fine.
All right. I think that we should then flip over to Imani. Imani, you're in your apartment. It's really late or early at this point. Like, the sun is probably going to come up in, like, an hour or so. You're looking at your bed. It looks like a butcher knife was put through the mattress.
That can't be comfortable.
No. Did you turn the light on when you came into the room, or are you just going by the light of the moon coming through the window?
I feel like Amani probably is one of those people that keeps like the bathroom light on. So it like illuminates the hallway, but not exactly like her bedroom.
So the bathroom's right off your bedroom. So yeah, it illuminates it pretty good. And you hear Trish's voice behind you. Oh dear, what happened to your bed?
Long story.
So how are you, Amani?
I mean, I couldn't be better. Why would you ask?
I don't know. It's the middle of the night and you have a warning on your wall and messed up mattress. I thought maybe something was amiss.
I'm taking care of it.
That's nice. Now, have you turned around or are you just still staring at the bed?
I think I'm still staring at the bed, to be completely honest with you. Trying not to make eye contact.
No problem. Then you hear Johnny's voice behind you. And he says, when I asked you for help, did you not hear me?
I think I really do not like it here. And she will just sit in the middle of the ground, cross-legged. Just, like, give up. Like, what the fuck do I do at this point? Just like, you know what? If you're gonna fucking kill me at this point. This shit is wild. Just sit here.
So you sit down and you hear their footsteps coming up behind you. You feel a hand on your shoulder and you can smell tar. And next to your face is Trish. And she goes, why are you sitting on the ground? You can almost off the peripheral, you can see her side of her face. She no longer has any lips. And this tar is just kind of dripping off of her face onto the wood floor. And she goes, we just want to have a conversation with you.
I don't know if I am asleep or if this is real. She pinches herself. I was like, am I awake or am I asleep?
Vanessa goes, oh, you're awake. We need to talk about Rose.
I understand she's a problem.
You then hear a crunching sound, almost like the sound of fried skin that's like crunching as it's walking. You hear the ash-infused voice of Rose's husband, and he says, do you know how she killed me? I was asleep and she set the bed on fire.
I told her to stop listening to Marianne down the street. She came up with the asinine idea. I said it was more damage than it was worth.
One by one, they kind of go around you to the bed and sit on the bed in front of you. And you're looking at the ground, I'm imagining, correct?
Yeah, because if she looks out, she's going to fucking fall up. Like,
I do think at this point we need a resolve check.
I was waiting for it. I was like, how many fucking dead people are you going to throw at me, Wes, before you ask me to make a damn resolve roll?
All of them.
All of
literally
them.
Every dead person in the vicinity. Okay.
So you're rolling against your resolve.
Ooh, okay. 38 under my 50.
All right. You take a large breath in. And you can kind of see their feet. Trish is covered in Breatar pit tar. Rose's husband has been burnt almost to a skeletal point. Vanessa looks relatively fine. Normal feet, normal legs. And Johnny doesn't have any shoes on and is super bluish white skin. Like he'd been sitting in ice for a long time.
I am so sorry that y'all have got caught in her crosshairs.
Well, Vanessa says, I have a question. Obviously, I'm the most recent person to run into Rose. So there were three bodies before me, and I was wondering why you hadn't done a fucking thing about it beforehand. You knew what she was doing.
When someone who shares your bed shows themselves capable of something like this, don't you think you would move with a bit more finesse?
Trish goes, well, that finesse could have been calling the police a little sooner.
I didn't think it was going to get this far. I didn't want any more people hurt, but everything just kept piling up before I knew what to do with it.
Corpses do have a tendency to pile up, Johnny says.
I'm really sorry about you. You didn't deserve it. None of y'all did. But you were good people, Johnny.
Tris says, what are you going to do about it, is the question. Are you going to let a fifth person die?
I think it might be time to do something that should have been done a long time ago.
We agree. And they all stand up and they walk around you again. You never looked up once, correct?
No.
They disappear back into the darkness past where the bathroom light illuminates the room. And you can feel that you're alone again.
Imani full on passes out, just cold.
Okay.
Like, just really classic, full out, overly dramatic movie star fall.
Okay, cool.
I literally wrote in my notes, Imani gets visited by ghosts of crazy girlfriends past and present. That's literally what I wrote in my notes.
Right here. Mm-hmm.
Do you know what it reminded me of is...
American Werewolf in London.
American Werewolf in London, yeah. That was my...
Oh, holy shit.
Yeah, yeah.
It's been a long time since I've seen that movie, honestly. Not gonna lie. I need to rewatch it.
I had that idea and I'm like, yeah, it's kind of like American Werewolf in London.
Yeah, I clocked that the minute that the ghost started showing up. I'm like, yes!
I was also thinking of just more recently, Fall of the House of Usher.
Yeah.
Ooh,
yeah.
That's also on my list, too. I need to watch that.
Yeah, that was...
But yeah, American Werewolf is such a good
movie. Has everyone watched Fall of the House of Usher?
No, not yet. But I don't care about spoilers if you're going to talk about it.
No, I won't spoil. I won't spoil that particular part. All right, we're going to flip over to Belle real quick. Belle, you walk back down the street. You made it pretty far. And you walk down the street, and you're about to enter the building. And Tony goes, look, you better give me the gun so I can put it in the car. Do you want to get caught with a gun in an insane asylum?
Fine.
Takes the gun, puts it in the car.
I mean, he's not wrong. I'm just pissed.
You walk up these steps and go into this building. And there's a older man waiting for you at the top of the steps in a doctor's lab coat. Hi, Belle. My name is Dr. Murphy. It's nice to meet you. We're just here to talk to you. Your ex-husband has some concerns about your recent issues, and I just wanted to have a conversation. Would you step in my office?
Sure.
And Tony starts to follow, and the doctor says, no, she has to speak with me alone because she'll be more comfortable telling me exactly what's going on. And he does not like that too much. He goes, you can wait for her outside. And the two of you walk into the office. And he sits down behind the desk and you sit on the couch. And he says, I've been told that you've been having visions of things going on, hands in your hospital bed. And the concern is that your medical emergency might have caused some damage to your reason centers.
Well, doctor, and she starts putting on all the charm she uses to get people to trust her and tell her things.
Can I get a persuade roll, please?
Of course you can. No, I did not make it. Yeah.
You're in distress. It makes sense.
Yeah, I would have to spend a lot of luck.
It's up to you. You're only sitting in a asylum office with a doctor who probably has enough Thorazine to put down an army, but...
Yeah, I'm spending the luck. I'm spending, because I rolled an 85 over my 60.
Oh, that is a lot of points.
Ooh, that's a lot.
But I have 60 luck, so I can spend it and go to 45. So that's what I am doing. I've had characters with luck that's like 10. You know what I mean? So I can burn a little here. She musters up all of her full Belle charm. She says, well... Doctor, you have to understand, I've been under a lot of strain. I know you've been reading the papers, and a studio that I work at frequently has had some murders surrounding it, and gosh, I'm scared. I'm just really scared. And, you know, I mean, Tony, he means well, he does, but I think he just doesn't understand the strain I've been under, and let's face it, Doc, how many men would love to have their ex-wives committed. She just kind of laughs, hoping the doctor laughs with her.
He does. He gives out a chuckle. He goes, well, I, I wouldn't say that I haven't seen that before. It's sometimes difficult for men to understand the complex nature of female emotions. Now, they haven't gone to medical school like I have.
And she nods like, yes, you're so right.
I'm just concerned about how tired you look. Have you been getting enough sleep?
I really haven't. I've been having trouble sleeping, if I'm being honest. And, you know, maybe that's it. Maybe it's just the stress and the fact that I haven't been sleeping and, you know, and having, frankly, my ex-husband back in my life. That's really...
I can understand that. The question is can you do your job? You seem to be entrenched with the studio that your husband owns. Can you get reassigned or are you forced to be there?
I think I could at least cut my time at the studio to part-time and pursue some other stories. I think that, and I give the whole like I am being forced, but I don't want to say it. Look, you know what I mean?
That sounds like another persuade roll.
Ooh, it's good. Okay. I did not make that one.
You are just flubbing rolls left and right.
I know.
It's almost like you want to stay here for a game.
I know. But I'm like, I mean, I could cut to part-time, you know. I think Tony would be okay with that.
Well, I think that I can help you out with the sleep, at least. And he opens up the drawer and he pulls out a bottle of pills.
Yeah, it's the 50s. It's going to be Mother's Little Helper right here.
Yeah, Mother's Little Helper. You take the yellow ones to go to sleep and the red ones to wake up. You know, these will help you fall asleep. It's Valium. And these will, you know, pep you up a little bit in the morning. Some kind of horrible amphetamine that's been illegal since 1962. And he says, you know, just be careful. Don't take more than two at a time. Don't want to overdo it. And he comes around the desk and hands you the pills. He goes, do you want me to talk to Mr. Stendelli and suggest that he gives you some room while you're doing your job?
I think just letting him know that I'm just stressed and I'm not crazy would be nice, you know?
All right. I can do that. Let's go out on the hall. If you need more pills, and he hands you his card, call my office.
Thank you so much, doctor. I really value your expertise.
No problem. No problem. And you walk out into the hallway. He says to Tony, oh, she's fine. She just needs a couple of days off of work and some sleep. Obviously, her hospital visit was traumatic and she needs to take a few days off. I gave her some medicine. If there's any other issues, she has the card to my office and we can talk there, but nothing to worry about. And Tony goes, oh, that's good. That's good. I didn't want to have to leave her here. And he gives you this look of... he wanted to leave you here.
I know he did.
Let's take you back home.
Thank you. Thank you, doctor. I really appreciate it.
Anytime, anytime. And he walks back into his office and shuts the door. And you and Tony go back to your apartment and he drops you off there.
As soon as we hit the street.
Uh-huh.
Okay. My whole posture, everything changes.
Okay.
And the bitch is back. I just give him a look and I'm like, take me home.
I will. Get in the car. You guys do not speak the entire drive. You can just tell that he's frustrated. He's heard you say some pretty out there things and he thinks that you need professional help in the form of a straitjacket.
And I think this Valium might come in handy at some point.
Maybe, possibly. So you get to your apartment. And he leaves, and we're going to jump back over to Amani's apartment. Amani, you stand up, and we're going to say that as you're looking around and there's nobody there, you hear a knock on the door.
I look through the little peephole.
It's Penelope, Evie, Robbie, and Cass.
Open the door.
Are you okay?
Honestly, no. Things just keep getting weirder and scarier and weirder and scarier. Follow me. And Imani will lead y'all to her bedroom.
When you guys get in the bedroom, everybody but Amani, because she already knows this, make me a spot hidden roll.
Also, I kept cracking up. Michelle, you said that entire interaction with the doctor was like with all of the vibe and energy of the school principal just called me about my kid who just pranked the junior class. And I'm being nice right now, but as soon as I get home, I am ripping him into shreds. I was like,
that is the vibe
voice.
Exactly.
I was like, that was the mom voice. I sat up a little straighter. I was like, whew.
I did not make my roll.
Okay.
39 under 63.
Okay. Robbie, what did you make your spot hidden?
23 under 50.
So everybody but Cass, as you're walking into the bedroom, of course you see the I know what you did scrawled on the wall. The only light on is the bathroom light, which is kind of lighting up a small area of the bedroom. And then on the floor, the three of you, except for Cass, notice that there are footsteps. One looks like a black, almost tar-like substance on the ground. One looks like it's ash. Another is a wet footstep. There's three sets of footsteps because Vanessa didn't die in a way that would leave anything, any footsteps in any particular way. But you notice that there are all these footsteps kind of around in the room.
Were there people here when you got here? This is gross for the first one, but like, do you think people came in and did this and then left? Or why would they do that? You're nice and...
And Amani is stuck, almost. She's trying to explain, but every time she goes to start the sentence of how to even start, she just stutters and fumbles over her words. She's still shaking.
Cass goes over and puts a hand on Amani's shoulder and just says, breathe, start at the beginning.
I've been seeing someone who followed me from back home, and I don't know if I want it anymore. And they're not taking too kindly to it. They've done things. I know that this sounds absolutely asinine, but I think I was visited by these people.
Nothing sounds asinine right now.
Wait, you said you're seeing a person and then there are more. Is it more than one person? Because you said you were meeting people and...
I think I'm being haunted by the ghosts and past sins of my person I'm sleeping with.
That didn't clear anything up. Actually, that's more confusing. I'm really sorry. I don't understand what that all means.
You hear Ebony from the very back of the room go, have you tried sage? I sage all my places when I stay there. I walk in, I do my ritual, and I try to. It's a little relic from back home, you know.
That's the thing, Miss Evie. I never move into a new spot without saging first. It's practice where I come from. Same with this. And Amani points to the frame of her door that's been painted this bright blue, sky blue, almost like a Tiffany blue. Back home, this color is supposed to scare and ward off evil spirits. Things that want to do you harm. I don't think it's been working.
It's part of my family's rituals. My grandmother is someone who is very practiced in these things. So it sounds as though these are new visitors then.
Yes.
Or maybe not so evil that these protection measures are keeping them out.
Newly dead as well. Yes, judging by these footsteps.
I just caught up on the dead thing. I understand now.
Well, you can't stay here. And unfortunately, my house has been, well, leveled to the ground. So we must find somewhere else that is safe for you. Penelope, I don't mean to overstay our welcome. I am not a believer in inviting myself places. I like being invited. But also, we find ourselves rather homeless.
In a bit of a bind.
No, of course, you can stay at my place. That's fine. I have plenty of room. I would actually think that we should stay together as much as possible at this point.
Ebony has had stalkers and things like that,
before as the eldest person in this room and as someone who's been in Hollywood the longest. Can I listen and, like, look around to see if she's actually alone?
You've been standing there looking at the bed, and Ebony, you start to look around because you're like, if this person is stalking Imani, this is probably a trap. And you start to scan the room, and at the door is just slightly open, and it slowly swings open when you turn to look at it, and Rose is standing there with her gun pointed at all of you. And that is where we're going to end this episode.
Dude! Wes!
This way!
Oh. I don't know. So thank you all so much for playing, and thank you all so much for listening. Let's find out where we can find all of you wonderful people. Let's start with Sam again.
Hello, it is me, Sam. I played Imani. You can catch me all across the interwebs at Lust for Life, LustForLifeX on Saturdays, 8 p.m. on Transplanar RPGs. You can catch me playing Lumira as a main cast member in the Chaos Protocol. It's really cool. You should check it out, and also check me out here doing cool shit.
Hello. My name is Candace. I have been Ebony Belafonte. You can find me at the Candace Marie on Twitter and Blue Sky, at Candace the Magnificent, pretty much everywhere else. I have a bunch of stuff going on, so check me out on social and I will post about all of it. But if you want to hear more of me, listen to Beyond the Outer, the upcoming or current Mothership campaign right here at 12 Sided Stories, as well as on Bloom and Blight, which is the Dareful Archives Girl by Moonlight podcast, wherever you catch your pods.
Hey, y'all, I have been and will continue to be Mac Beauvais. You can find me online as at Strange Like That. Look me up. I do artwork and I read tarot cards and other weird, creepy things that require you to give me your money. Do it.
Hey, I'm Lev. You can find me on Twitter at Lego M2RS. It's the number two, not the spelling out of two. You can also catch me on Mayday Roleplay, where we play a bunch of different kinds of games. We've been playing Orpheus. Orpheus may or may not be done by the time you hear this. But you can go back and listen to it, because it's... Oh boy! We're all sad gay ghosts, and it's great! Honestly, it's really fun. And, you'll hear me around. I have socials. You just... If you want to hear my voice, the socials is where I'll tell you where to find it. Okay, bye.
Hey, I'm Michelle, and you can find me on the socials at Michulhu. That's M-I-C-H-U-L-H-U. And you can find my music and Wes's amazing sound effects if you subscribe to the Plate Mail Games catalog through BattleBards.
And I am Wes Otis. You can find me at Plate Mail Games on all of the different socials. You can find the show at 12 Sided Stories, usually the number 12, and then Sided Stories for the social media part of it. And then for... our website, it's 12sidedstories, all spelled out, .com. You can find all our links there if you want to listen to some of our older back catalog, which has some amazing stuff in it as well, while you're waiting for the next episode to come out. If you want to help out the podcast, check us out over on Patreon and join us there, or give us a shout out, or give us a review on your favorite platform. Any of those things are helpful. Come join us on Discord as well. We do have a Discord. And it's great to, you know, talk with people and talk about the show and tabletop RPGs and all that good stuff. Again, thank you for listening, and we will talk to you soon.
Bye.